The Football Pod on Off the Ball. Brought to you by Movember, ahead of the game. Building mentally resilient GAA communities on and off the pitch.
How are you doing? And you're very welcome along to The Football Pod with Tommy Rooney, Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue. A thrilling weekend. A bloody brilliant weekend of Gaelic football. We have our final two. Mayo take it on Kerry in the 2026 All-Ireland Final. And Wicklow. Wonderful Wicklow. Our Tailteann Cup champions. We were in Croke Park for the weekend, the three of us, for Off the Ball. James, Paddy, how are we?
Hey, Tom. I'm fantastic.
It was a wonderful weekend of football. It was. We were in there yesterday, T. It was a great match, as expected. We thought it would be. We knew Dublin would perform and put it up to Kerry, and they did. And, geez, we were talking afterwards, even in the tunnel, just kind of going, from a Dublin perspective, you're proud. A lot of the older guys performed, but a lot of the younger guys really stood up. Some of them, that was their first time playing Kerry in the championship. They created enough opportunities to win the game. They'll have regrets in terms of their conversion rate, but that's been their story all season. You know, that they've created opportunities, but they haven't been able to take them all. And then we'll get into, I'm sure, if Dublin were going to win that game yesterday, they needed Kerry to be a little bit off their best, and Dublin needed to perform, and they needed to get the breaks. And a lot of those things happened, but the big moments went Kerry's way, and the big calls obviously kind of fell on Kerry's side as well. So it's proud from a Dublin perspective, but also disappointed, because you feel like they really could have caused that upset and got into a final against Mayo again. So, but look, it was a great game.
The first half, I thought the first half was a little bit kind of on the boring side. Because I was expecting fireworks from like the beginning. The Dublin were good defensively in the first half. Kerry were kind of slow in attack. I don't think the Kerry manager would have been overly happy with the first half, because they made the changes early in the second half. But I think the wind was a significant factor that I don't think we realised as how much of a factor it was going to play, because the weather was so beautiful. But yet down on the pitch, I reckon the wind was so against you going into the hill that it was difficult to take any 2-point shots, and you had to really work on your scores going in there. I don't think in the first half, with Dublin playing down the other end, kicked enough 2-pointers or got enough scores going in at half time. And I knew that the Kerry, with that wind in the second half, with the kicking ability of Shawnee and Clifford especially, and Paddy Clifford, that there were the 2-pointers on offer, and they were important in the end, just to kind of, in Kerry's purple patch, those 2-pointers went over and they really sucked the life out of Dublin for a while. But like, I suppose the decisions are going to be discussed a lot. Did Kerry get the bounce of the ball in a way? Maybe, but like, they do even themselves out, not only over the course of the championship, over the years, there's been plenty of other ones that haven't gone that way. Gerard Brennan saying that, I remember Peter Crowley got fouled with him last play of the 16 semi-final.
Kevin Mash, yeah.
I still can't sleep over it. Yeah, but
James, VAR. There's a lot of evening and out to be done from the Tyrone and the Dublin decision.
Correct.
So we'll see what happens in the All-Ireland final.
No.
Maybe Mayo might get the rub of the green the next day.
Every single closet Dublin fan was out on Twitter again last night.
James. Why? You go on there what you're going to say, and I'm going to, three of us are going to answer what we thought of the three big decisions, because I've watched them back this morning. You make your point there you were going to make about the VAR.
Well, the three big VAR is not welcome in football. Come on, I agree. The umpire's job is so hard, right? They're standing under the post and they're expected to call square balls, see if a ball's gone over the line, see if it's gone over the post or inside. They're redundant. They have no chance of calling any of those things. We know it. They have no power. They are just two fellas in white coats there for the day out. There's no point in having them there, right?
Stop saying that.
It's a fact. The square ball was a square ball. The penalty decision was at high pace. If you actually take the still of it, it actually almost looks like a free out, because he's kind of fronted him up with his chest and Joe's run into him. But I mean, again, it's at full pace. It's a hard one to call. And it did look like a foul from every live angle, I reckon. It was just actually the still maybe says something different. And then what do you say in the third decision was then?
Well, Ross McGarry's effort that hit Mike Breen on the shoulder and everyone is frozen the frame.
That doesn't look over the line.
I'm with you on that.
And as well, if you're the umpire and we're looking at it in freeze frame, we're still not sure. How in the name of God is he supposed to call it?
Mm.
So the square ball should have probably been given. The other ones are very, very difficult in the split second. But like for VAR, do not come next to football with VAR, please. Imagine the sham of it. It's a sham in professional soccer. Imagine us at it. Some fella in some room in Dublin calling decisions.
What if we had our own Irish style of VAR, where the referee and the players just look up at the big screen in Croke Park, and even if it's inconclusive, they do their very best.
It is inconclusive. It's too inconclusive.
It is.
Look, Paddy. Like, even the definition of a tackle, Tommy.
It is. 100%.
There's about 500 different definitions of a tackle.
There's not enough for the definition. Paddy, I watched them back this morning and I want to get your take on it. Okay, penalty, soft, square ball, 100%. I think Mike Breen's shoulder, I think it's inconclusive, but it's millimetres, it's not over the line. But that's three decisions in a row that all went against Dublin. How did you see it?
There was a big one as well, lads. It's kind of gone under the radar. I remember Cliffy's point in the second half as well, where Theo Clancy's going down on the ball, like, and he's tackled as he's going down on the ball, and it pops back up to Clifford. And he actually ends up kicking it over the bar as well. Like that, I actually thought that was a blatant free out as well. Like we thought at the time, Tommy, that was another bit. Like, and these were all at such big moments in the game. No, Tommy, no, you don't agree. Well, that was my take on that one. But the three major ones you're talking about, I absolutely did not think it was a penalty. Really, really didn't. I said it to you, Tommy, at the time. I thought it was like 2 minutes into the game. Joe O'Connor's coming straight at you. What is Pat O'Crawford Byrne meant to do there? He actually just stands his ground. Like, I thought it was unbelievably harsh as a penalty. And then the yellow card as well was kind of going, geez, maybe I've seen that wrong. And then we watched it back. And I just don't think that's a penalty. Okay, so that's grand. The square ball is a square ball. There's no, like, we're all in agreement on that. I think anyone who's seen that back, I think Brendan Cawley will look back at that and say, okay, that probably should have been given. And then, look, we've all seen the shot of it, and I agree with you. Like, it's like absolutely millimeters. Like, and the fact that we're seeing photos of it online, freeze frames of it, we know the umpires don't have that luxury. Brendan Cawley doesn't have that luxury. It's frustrating. I would actually say, genuinely, and Tommy, again, I said this yesterday live, so I've had time to see it back again. I thought it was over the line, but I understand the umpires are like literally 2 yards away from it. Like, I agree with Jimmy's point. You know, I'm not their biggest fan. I question their influence and how well they're able to do their job there. But like, that is their job. As Roy Keane would say, you're 2 yards away from it. You know, you're crouched down looking at it. You've got to make the call or not. And from their perspective, you say, if they're not 1,000,000% sure, they're not going to give the goal. So I get their predicament, you know, and you're right. These things could have come and go. You get some good calls, you get some bad calls. But when you take them cumulatively on the course of that game, like, that's 9 or maybe 10 point swing. But the one that's really on Brendan, I have to say, is the penalty. I didn't think that was a penalty.
Okay.
And I thought it was a free out for Clifford's
okay.
point as well. That's kind of gone under the radar.
I get where you're coming from on it. I'm trying
to be balanced, Tommy.
Like, let's not waste the pod talking about decisions here either. Yeah, I get you.
I was going to say that I don't think the story, like, obviously there's some elements, there's a couple of talking points, fair enough, but like the other thing that Joe Brennan said in his interview, which has, it stirred something in me a little bit, because I saw some other people on Twitter, Parkinson and a few more, were like, Dublin were the better team, sure, how many wides did they kick? Kicking wides does not make you the better team on the day. Kicking wides makes you the lesser team on the day. Like, if your shooting is on and you have a higher skill level, you're the better team, not the other way around. Like, fair enough, they created an awful lot of chances they should have taken, but they didn't, because the fellas maybe shooting weren't of the level of that we're used to Dublin over years gone by. Like, some of the wides at Dublin kick, they'll be really, really disappointed with. But that's the level of your team. You're only as good as your conversion rate and your ability in front of the posts. And they definitely left a lot of scores. They left a lot of scores out there, and they could have put Kerry under savage pressure, you know. Yeah. But they weren't at that top level of previously where they would punish everything.
No, I agree. And, I agree with you on that point, James. Can I ask you, though, briefly, the Paddy Clifford decision? I asked Jared Brennan about it afterwards in the press conference. We'll probably share that clip and Off the Ball later. Like, Donegal last year were punished for not maybe directly constantly tagging Paddy Clifford in the All-Ireland final. Paddy was purring. Like, Paddy ran that game. I think it was going to be quite obvious from a good bit out he was going to win man of the match. He really got into his groove. What did you read of how Dublin set up? Because Dublin did do quite well defensively on David Clifford. Dylan Gainey, possibly his quietest game. His first miss of the year leads to a goal. But Paddy Clifford runs the game, and he's really in his groove.
Yeah, I thought Paddy and Shawnee were real leaders for Kerry at the weekend. Like, first of all, on Shawnee, for him not to kick a ball all year, when I saw that he was on the team, I was going, are we ruining this trump card in the last 20? Do you know, are we taking him out of the game maybe at that stage where he's tired and he's not going to contribute? But as soon as the game started, he was at the pitch of it. I don't know how he's got to the pitch of that game after not kicking the ball all year. Like, it is a remarkable performance. He was winning breaks, he's winning kickouts. The point he got with the last kick of the first half, I mean, that's why I hate when teams say that kicking wide is nearly a good thing. The level of quality for that kick with the right, from the right, at pace, and to slap it over was just a brilliant score. So I thought he was fantastic. But you're right, Paddy did run the game. But I wonder, did the fact that Shawnee was playing throw the Dubs a little bit before the game, because Shawnee would have played the game completely differently to how Paul Gainey would have played the game. So that maybe opened up a little bit of space for Paddy that maybe wouldn't have been there previously.
Well, it's a very good point, because Jared was asked afterwards about deciding to play with the wind in the first half. And I was wondering why that decision was made. And it was made because of Sean O'Shea. It was made because Brennan reckoned Sean O'Shea with his 2.3 would be less of a threat in the second half when he's a bit more tired after being out for a year. That's how much they thought about him. And he still scores a two-pointer with an advantage. That very interesting how Kerry used the inside mark. But I just thought that was
interesting. I've never seen so marks in general. It's mad how many marks there were over the couple of games of the weekend. And they were all cornerbacks.
Do cornerbacks on the wrong side not know that they can pass the ball? Owen Kennedy, Bruno Bioglik, they all took shots from underneath the Hogan stand on the left.
Nobody wants to be seeing that anymore. A cornerback with the left leg, kick it up in the air and run after it. But I think those two Kerry fellas showed the true leadership and ran the game. And it was an experience thing, because I know myself, when you're there and the Dubs are coming at you, it needs a fellow with a cool head and great ball skills to just keep the game ticking. And Paddy is the perfect man for that. Yeah. I know David was probably quiet, but in the moments that he got that two-pointer, that was a huge two-pointer for Kerry. And then he got the other kind of ones that he chipped over. He was quiet, but he still played well. But Shawnee and Paddy, I thought, were the outstanding ones.
Yeah. But Paddy, from a Dublin perspective, outside of the Dublin fan on level 7 that caught David Clifford's kick up to the stands after the hooter, that, what a catch, by the way, Paddy. We watched that live when we were on News Talk. Who was your outstanding Dublin footballer from the day?
I thought Brian Howard was very, very good. I thought Davey Byrne had a brilliant battle with David Clifford. I thought Scully was influential, but maybe not at the heights that we'd seen through the year. Kieran Kilkenny, again, we knew what we were going to get from Kieran. Like Dublin, I think Dublin, I thought Charlie McMorrow, as a young fella, he hit 2 points as well. Cormac Costello hit 7. Conny Pascal had a period in the game, start of the second half, where he was really influential. But, you know, the big thing, Dublin needed to get the ball into Conn's hands more than they were able to. And that's credit to Kerry. Jason Foley did a really good job there, but not just Jason Foley. I thought Dermot O'Connor and Mark O'Shea did unbelievable, unseen work in terms of any time Dublin got possession around their half-back line in the middle third, the two lads would just sprint back to block off those passing channels into Conn. And that was a massive help. I'd say Jason Foley was very grateful for that, because Dublin were looking to kick that ball in. They knew, can we get the ball inside quickly? And Kerry were stopping them from doing that. So that was just the homework Kerry had done, and they were able to execute that. So, and to be fair, I agree with Jimmy's point and yourself, Tommy. Like, I don't know if Dublin were the better team. And there's one thing, creating opportunities, but the story of Dublin's season, their conversion rate has not been as high as they'd like it to be in any game. And you felt, and we said it on last week's show, Dublin had the potential that Costello and Pascal and Conn could all get hot together, and they'd hit 7 out of 8 shots each, and Dublin could win the game. That is, Dublin have that in the locker, but they didn't get to that level yesterday. And you can't say that that's not an anomaly. And people say, what you'd expect from Dublin. This is a totally different Dublin team from the ones where conversion rate was in the 80%. So it was, I knew Dublin would perform. I knew the character and the work rate they put in, because they've shown us that, and knowing the people involved, that I expected them to do that. But when push came to shove and the game, like quality, when you need it, scores, you need it. This is a big moment. That's whatever about the big calls from the refereeing side, the big moments in the game, Dublin couldn't convert and Kerry could. You know, and that's, I don't like saying it, but that's quality. And that's, you know, Cliffy's on the edge of the game, but he hits that period where Sean O'Brien's goal goes in, having Conn just hitting the crossbar a minute or two beforehand, that would have put Dublin 6 up and really would have given them that belief. Sean O'Brien gets that goal off Dylan Ganey's drop short. Then Sean O'Shea hits a two-pointer. Then Cliffy hits a two-pointer. And just like that, it's a 7-point swing. And Dublin, in the final quarter, when Dublin needed the quality to... They did well on Shea Murphy's kickouts. They had possessions. That's the ones where we've got to nail this. We've got to get that momentum. And the only real momentum period that Dublin got was the first 5 minutes of the second half, where they win 3 kickouts in a row. They get 3 scores. Davy Byrne gets a block on Clifford, and that results in Conn's chance. I mean, if that goes in, I mean, the stadium's on wheels. But Dublin's carried it brilliantly to manage any sort of momentum that Dublin could get. And then when the chips were down, Kerry's quality with that breeze at their back in the second half was the difference. So I agree. Like that's what makes you the better team. That's what makes you. And to be fair to Kerry, and we've seen it in the Tyrone match, we've seen it against Armagh as well. It's a bit more comfortable against Armagh, but when it's really tight and the pressure's on, this Kerry team have been through the ringer. Jack O'Connor has, and the key players, they've been there a long time. They know what to do, and they can either stop a team scoring by every means possible, but they can create scores as well. And if Dylan Ganey's off it, well, that's fine. We've Paddy Clifford to stand back up. If David Clifford's off it, Sean O'Shea can come in. Paul Ganey might be back for the final. They have so many trump cards up front, and that's quality. That's always the challenge when you play Kerry, that you might keep one of them quiet, but how do we keep the others quiet as well? So that's the piece. It's like, from a Dublin perspective, the big moments on the pitch, outside of the ref, Kerry were able to just have that little bit more composure and a little bit more quality. But that's expected, because you've got Clifford, Paddy Clifford, and Sean O'Shea. I mean, these guys, they've been doing it for years. It's not a surprise. You know, maybe Seanie reaching that level, what Jimmy's saying, haven't been out for so long. But for Dublin, it'll be just looking back on, we were trying to get the ball in quickly to Conn, because that's how we were going to win this thing. But Kerry were so good at stopping that. Like, if you're Jack O'Connor, you don't need to be this master tactician. Go, we need to try and curb Conn as much as we can. Scully's going to look to kick it in. Howard's going to look to kick it in. Kilkenny's going to look to kick it in. When they have it, you got to just work your hole off to get back. And Mark O'Shea, Dermot O'Connor in particular, were brilliant at filling those passing lanes. So, I thought it was a good game. I agree, Jim. The first half was maybe, it was a serious breeze. And you could see Kerry had those long bouts of possession. But second half,
And this is a credit to Dublin as well. Kerry were trying to do the same thing in terms of get the ball inside to David Clifford, but Davy Byrne, Theo Clancy, Kieran Kilkenny's work rate, unbelievable to try and stop that. So two teams wanted to play the same way, but the defensive systems and the work rate of both sets of players were, I thought that was brilliant aspect of the game, but it was curbing maybe the total shootout that we all wanted to see.
Yeah, I thought it was very interesting game. You know, albeit maybe the quality wasn't as
high. When you say that,
high.
Tommy, that's when you're like, I haven't listened to it. Very interesting.
No. You guys think that. Very interesting stuff from Paddy James. Another interesting moment from the press conference was Jack O'Connor towards the end of a question I'd asked him about where his Kerry team are at. He said that watching the games of the weekend, Mayo were the most impressive team of the weekend. I think I heard a chuckle in the press box behind me when Jack started on that one. If we're judging the two teams, Mayo were probably more impressive than we were. So we'd have our hands full with that elusive forward line they have with those young lads, Byrne and Kobe. And obviously, they've got a serious scoring threat. And Ryan O'Donoghue was sensational yesterday. So we've a lot of improving to do. Ryan O'Donoghue was sensational. Man of the match. We were covering this game for Off the Ball. Let's just go through Mayo and all the positives that went with that win against Louth.
Yeah, I thought that Mayo were very impressive. Like the first half, again, both sides were kind of feeling each other out a little bit. We were thinking this is going to go down to the wire.
Yeah.
There was a point in it either way a couple of times. It wasn't a brilliantly high level match by any means in the first half. But I think that Mayo really exposed Louth's full back line. And I'm a big man on full back lines because I know the importance of them. One little chink there, one little chink, and that's it. That can be, it can be so ruthlessly exploited. And Ryan O'Donoghue absolutely exploited every last bit of opportunity he got. And I saw the very first ball he got was under the Cusack, and McKinney was just, he was about 10 yards off him. And I, like, for Ryan O'Donoghue, I want him to contest every possession. I want, when he's catching the ball, I want my defender's hand in between his hands. I don't want anyone giving him a soft possession because he's too good. He has to earn everything in a big game. That would be my take on it. Those big players, you have to make sure they contest everything and get frustrated and have to work so hard. But he didn't. And every time he got the ball, he did something with it. And I said after the game, it's fine having Kobe and Byrne there, 18 and 19. All the talent in the world. They're going to be brilliant players. Hopefully Kobe from Mayo, not in Australia. But they're going to be brilliant players in the future. The only way they can play their best is if Ryan O'Donoghue is playing at his best. Because he's the one who takes the brunt of the attention. He's the one who does everything right. He brings them into the game when they have to. He does his own scores. He takes the attention and heat off them. And that's why the three of them are working so well together, because Ryan O'Donoghue is the leader of that three. And I thought he was brilliant. And it epitomised itself when his mentality at the end of the game, when the game was won, the game was over, and he had the 2-point free. And he said, no, there was almost a pitch invasion to celebrate being back in All-Ireland final. And he was like, no, get off. I'm having this 2-point shot. Just, you know, just to re-emphasize how important he is and how good he is. And he slaps it straight over the black spot. So that was a big kind of I'm here moment for him. And I'm actually really looking forward to his battle with the Kerry defence. And I say the Kerry defence because Jason Foley will probably pick him if he's inside. But if Andy decides to switch it up and brings him outside, there's going to have to be a different question asked and a different problem solved. So it will be interesting. It might not just be a Jason Foley problem in the final.
Okay, I'm going to stay with you, James, for one more second, because I got Paddy's perspective on this, and he gave a brilliant answer on News Talk yesterday afternoon when we were building up to the game. Andy Moran set the tone, I felt, in the press conference afterwards. Did you catch his answer to John Fogarty's question about the hype and whether Mayo fans are going to be burnt? What did you make of that?
I thought it was a fair question. I know he said it was a bullshit question, but I suppose the fact that there have been so many finals lost is a factor in this game. Like, I know everyone wants to say that there's nothing ever happened before this season, but it did. And there's 10 or 11 finals or whatever it is, 13 including replays, that have happened. And there is caution there. So I think the question was, do Mayo supporters have to be quietly confident here, or can they go all in again? But I think Andy gave a brilliant answer. And he said, no, the Mayo supporters deserve it. They can enjoy it. And again, the fan mentality is very different to the players' ones. Like, the players have to be ice cold and rootless and completely zoned in and forget about previous years and just concentrate on this one opportunity that they need to grasp for the rest of their lives. If Mayo win this, it would be such a monumental moment in Mayo's history, in these players' lives. Like, they'll have it forever. They'll have this forever. So it's a huge moment for them. But I thought Andy did answer it well, in fairness to him. But I think that Mayo supporters are going to get on the hype train. You know, I just think that's...
But do it.
It's in their nature. They are going to enjoy it.
But that's... Yeah. We were talking about it yesterday. I mean, that is what being a supporter is about. That
exactly.
is why
yeah, it's different to
let,
being a
let the supporters, let the young kids or the elflers or elves or whatever. You're a fan. You're there to enjoy it. You're there to embrace it. We spoke about it. Like, we're all fans of Gaelic football. We're fans of all other sports, and we jump on the bandwagon as much as anyone. That's why we love sport. We love watching it, celebrating it, the highs, the lows this morning as a Dublin supporter. That's what being a supporter is about. That's why we love it so much. So these fan police can piss off. Like, let the supporters embrace it and enjoy it. It's the All-Ireland final. It's the best 2 weeks. It's the pinnacle of our sport. If you're a Mayo and a Kerry supporter, absolutely lap it up, because it's brilliant. Because there's 30 other counties who'd love to be in your position as well. Mm-hmm. I agree that from a player's perspective, and Andy and the coaches and all those Mayo players, very different for them. You have to be very boring about this and just stick to the process, as we'd say. It's about performing and block out all of that. You don't really enjoy it as a player. You can't. You have to perform and you have to win at the end of the day. But for the supporters, Andy Moran, I could not agree with him more. Go mental. That is what being a sports fan is about. Enjoy it. That's why we all love it. So I don't like this begrudgery, like looking at all the fans are getting carried away. Of course they are. They're fucking fans. That's what it's about. That's why we are fans. So enjoy it. I tell you, I'd love if Dublin were in it in 2 weeks' time. So they're there on merit. And I couldn't have agreed with Andy Moore, what he was saying.
I'm with you. Do you
know what a little bit of the question is? Do you know, I don't know how to word this even, but like, the getting to the final isn't enough for them. Like, if they get into the mentality of, you know, almost celebrating being back in the final, I think that it can...
But are you talking about the players?
The players won't think that, Jimmy. The fans maybe.
I know, but like, this is such a huge opportunity for them. Like, this is...
Of course it is.
This is unbelievable. Like, and if they can somehow get over the line, it'll be one of the greatest years for them. Because they've been written off all year. No one could have seen them getting to a semi-final, never mind the final, never mind winning it. So it is a huge opportunity. And I suppose... They're all, like, I know we're separating the players, but they're all in it together at this stage. You know, Mayo need their supporters to be absolutely on it as well in the final.
Yeah, I just think that squad are in a really good place over the last couple of weeks. I think they've grown as a group, and I think the likes of Matty Ruan and Dermot O'Connor and the older lads, their impact coming in off the bench is really kind of... I just think the squad harmony is in a really good place. Paddy,
but they've improved so much as well, Tommy. Like, in terms of the quality performance, like that 25 minutes of performance, that third quarter against Loud on Saturday, without the ball and with the ball, was as good as we've seen from anyone this year. It was unbelievable. I didn't think Mayo had those heights in them, I have to admit. And the defensive turnaround, and you have to give credit to Andy, Colin Boyle and the players for executing this. From what we were saying 4 weeks ago, you know, against Meath and Castlebar, or six, seven weeks ago against Monaghan in the first round of the All-Ireland Series in Clonus, where it was laughable what they were doing defensively. Teams, like, they were blessed to get away with it. The turnaround, we've seen signs of it against Cork. in the quarterfinal, where Cork were a bit one-dimensional, but Mayo's intensity in terms of the matchups were correct, but their collective defence was off the chart, and they brought it to a new level against Loud. And it's going to be the same against Kerry. They have to. This is the big worry as a neutral looking at this, going, a team that produces an insane level of performance in a semi-final, it's very difficult to repeat that again. But they're going to have to. They're going to have to do it. And that's going to be the question mark is, yeah, always like, who's going to mark David Clifford? Who's going to do this? Who's going to do all of that? The collective defence and the intensity to get to it. It was like Mayo at their best under James Horan, where they're just in your face, bullying the opposition. If they get to that again, and their boys get hard up front, and again, this is, I know Jack O'Connor spoke about it yesterday, it's an 18 and a 19-year-old in Kobe and Byrne. You're never sure how that might go for kids, basically. The talent is without question. Kobe strikes me as someone, I think he's going to embrace it, and he's going to love that All-Ireland final. But Kerry are a sure thing. We know, we just spoke about it, even when they're not at the best, we know what we're going to get out of their key guys. That's why they're a brilliant team. That's why they're going for back-to-back titles. With Mayo, there's more question marks, but there's also more excitement that if it all clicks, Jesus, they can cause Kerry serious problems. But that's, do we see Mayo perform from the Loud game, or is there some semblance, some bit of doubt in there where we see a Mayo like what we've seen against maybe Meath or the Rossies in this championship? Because if that happens, then it's a bloodbath. So it's, I obviously hope it's not. I hope it's Mayo at their best and Kerry at their best, and we get an epic final, because it's been an epic championship. But Mayo showed on Saturday night that they can reach heights that no one really thought they could, and that is a good place to be as a team.
Yeah, we saw Down obviously have a complete system failure in the Tailteann Cup final. We're going to get that in a couple of minutes. But from Loud's perspective, James, we might talk about this in our member show, but we spent a bit of time at Loud on Friday night. We were so impressed with a kind of a supporters fundraiser for the county football team. And just the hype, the buzz in the county, like they embraced this opportunity, a first time back in 69 years. It was huge for them. Do you think that impacted the players, or was it more Craig Lennon's injury in 22 minutes? The little things going against them just kept compounding the mistakes they made on the ball, and the fact that maybe the injuries across the year, maybe the lack of depth actually just got exposed in an All-Ireland semi-final.
Yeah, I don't think that it was any of the outside stuff that would have distracted them or anything. Even just because the turnaround is so fast now. Do you know, like back in the day when we were playing, you could have 4 or 5 weeks build up to a match. Like the games are coming thick and fast. They probably wouldn't have even had time to think about it. So I don't think it was the outside noise that would have affected the players at all. The occasion and the level that Mayo were able to get to, I think, might have. Like I saw a couple of the Loud players were cramping very early in the game, and like that can be, that's like your, you know, your nervous energy, it's draining, it can be tiring at times, and a lot of them were stretching their calves after 55 minutes or maybe an hour, which wouldn't have happened in any other game in the year. It's just you're so revved up and you're ready and you're nervous and there's energy being burned everywhere, and they just ran out of steam. But I think that Mayo's best line of the field exposed arguably Loud's most fragile line on the field. Like Mayo's full forward line just exposed the full back line. I think that was a factor. And this Loud team are very young. You know, your James Maguire, it was his first All-Ireland semi-final. It was all their first All-Ireland semi-final, but it's a big day for him. Mayo obviously had their work done. You know, these kind of fellas need a couple of these games to really get up to the fettle of the massive one. So I don't think it was outside noise. I think that Mayo were just a better team, were being used to being around this a little bit more. They were more calm more energy.
Two quick ones, James, because you got to go to work with Maguire Financial. You are listening to the Football Pod with Movember. We did a little bit of work with Movember on the Cusick Stand side, and it was great to see them get their message across from the work that they're doing. We had a little panel, and it was great to meet everyone over there on the Cusick Stand side on Saturday. Movember, ahead of the game, already reaching over 16,500 players, parents and coaches across Irish clubs with the tools to look after their mental health. Visit aheadofthegame.movember.com to find out how you can be a part of it. And we really do recommend checking that out. James, just finally, I'm going to ask you one on Wicklow before you go as well. The connectivity, the chemistry of the Mayo's forwards, you called them their outstanding line. There were so many times in that game where the three boys inside, Rod, Byrne and Kobe, and whoever the fourth forward was, whether it was McHale or Conroy or Towie or Loftus, were involved in scores together. Like, that flow that they have, we know we'll talk about Kerry's four again, but the flow that they have and the freedom they're playing with is so impressive. Like, Kobe's flick to O'Donoghue for a goal, like, we could all see it coming, but, like, to actually pull it off and O'Donoghue to flick it up and then finish under the keeper, it was just beautiful stuff.
But what does Kobe flick on? He flicks on a kick pass. Mm. May or Andy Moran has his fingerprints all over this team because he was an inside forward. He knows what works. He knows what inside forwards want. And he knows what outside players should be doing. In fairness to those Mayo lads, every chance, every time they have any bit of space, they are looking up and they are looking in for those three fellas. They are making those three inside players better by doing that. And the more you can get the ball in via the foot, the more chances are going to be created, the more goals you're going to score, the more exposing of defences you're going to do. If you're hand passing the ball side to side, waiting for cuts and loops and all this, it's great at times, but you're not getting to that level of freedom, chest out football and space that you do by kicking it. So I think that those three fellas have this chemistry, but the chemistry is built around finding each other with the foot. And it's honestly, it's lovely to watch. It's a great brand of football. And like, it's made heroes of that full forward line because they're actually thriving on it.
Yeah, one more big game to do it. And then, before we let you go, just the sensational Wicklow comeback at the weekend. I want to hear your take on Wicklow here and how they managed to pull it off.
Well, I mean, I would love to be a fly on the wall at halftime with Oisín McConville. I'd say he would have gone through them for a shortcut.
He said there was no shouting.
He says that. I mean, then it must have been the biggest psychological war inside there just to sit them down and be calm about it, because they were 12 down at halftime. They had not shown up at all. We had a head in the hands up there thinking this is going to get really ugly. And they just decided, not today. I mean, they looked down into their gut and they goes, not today. And I must say, Dean Healy, he did so many brilliant things. He did so many things wrong. He kicked the ball up in the air a couple of times and he kept coming back for more and more and more. And that goal, 57 minutes, going through full pace, tired, he's been around a long time, to open up the body and side foot it into the top corner to get your team within a point, I think. I think they were 4 or 5 down at the time. Get them back in. And with that moment,
Made it a draw.
With that moment, I think everyone knew this has turned big style. Wicklow are going to win this. And they still had something in the locker to kick on. And they missed a lot of chances in the first half. Jackson missed a couple of frees and they conceded.
Hold on, James.
Conceded a couple of soft goals.
Jackson nailed a 2-point free, but in the first half, yeah. Paddy, he had a very tough couple of seconds, didn't he?
He had a tough run of it. You were just head and hands for Wicklow, but even for him, you know, we'd seen earlier in the summer, he's had a brilliant league campaign, but the Leinster Championship game against Dublin, where Wicklow probably could and should have won that game in Aughrim, he hit 0 from 7 from his frees, and it was turning into that type of day in the first half from as well. We were like, Jesus, it's not happening.
Well, you were like,
misses one.
Maybe we won't say what you said.
he had 60 seconds from absolute fucking hell. He steps up and misses another free. Dell take a short, quick kick out, and he's jogging back as realizes the ball is landing over his head, and Pat Haveron gets a goal off it as well. I mean, if you talk about a bad period of time for someone, that was it for Mark Jackson. And then even the second goal, you're like, oh, Jesus Christ. That was kind of epitomised where Wicklow were at. And they're going, we were all saying at halftime, lads, this could be... Mm. It was going to form. It was a Division 2 team playing a Division 4 team, and it was everything that we expected. Down were cruising. And that's the massive turnaround. Unbelievable character from those Wicklow players. Every one of them were having tough moments in the first half, but they stood up. So McConville takes credit for that. But I don't know if we're going to get into Down.
Well, me and you will do that.
I've never seen anything like that.
James,
as bad as that was.
We're going to take a quick break in the football pod. We're coming back, Paddy. You're going to stick with me for a couple more minutes. Appreciate that. And we're back with our member, Sean Wednesday. James, by the way, well done. We've sold out our roadshow with Off the Ball, the All-Ireland Football Final Special with Owen Sheehan, Kieran McGeaney, Paddy and James.
I haven't got one.
Hey.
Is there any left for me and him?
You boys are going to enjoy it. You're going to have good fun.
No, I got seriously, you. If it's sold out, like, do we invent them?
You've got the best seats in the house, lads. And everyone, we can't wait to see you in Croke Park on Thursday the 23rd.
Is it Owen hosting or is it you hosting it? Or
we're all hosting it together. Okay, we're all together.
I thought it was like Owen's show. It's Owen's show.
It's Owen's baby. Yeah. Okay. Owen's in Mongolia. So we get Owen back on board. We'll all hop on a call.
What's our role on this thing?
Carrying Tommy's bags.
Okay, right. Are we allowed to talk to McGeaney or is only
yes?
Okay.
We're back. Okay. We're back in a minute.
Go on, see you boys.
See you later, Jimmy.
Bye, bye, bye.
OTB GAA. All right, you're welcome back to the Football Pod. Paddy Andrews, we've got a couple of bits to go through. We touched on Kerry. Can I just ask you, Clifford's penalty? I know James is a minute. It was a bad penalty, wasn't it?
It was a bad penalty.
Is he just going to be practicing penalties now for the next 2 weeks?
And he's normally pretty good with them. But the writing was on the wall. He should have known after 2 minutes when he hits a penalty like that and it pops up. It couldn't have popped up better for him and he buries the rebound. But fair to Evan, his homework done. Remember that 22 semi-final? Evan saves a penalty from Sean O'Shea as well that day. So, it wasn't a great penalty, whether it was a penalty or not. We've covered that already. But Cliffy kind of showed the genius of him again. An unbelievable job from Davy Byrne on him, but he still hit 5 points from play. Yeah. One of them a massive two-pointer at a key moment. So I think that's par, really, what you can do for him. If you can keep him on the edges of the game. But as we said, this is the challenge for Andy and that Mayo defence. Probably McHugh will probably pick him up. I think Enda Hessian will do a brilliant job today on Saturday. I don't know if he's the right matchup for someone like David Clifford. He might be brilliant for Dylan Gainey, or do they go Paddy Clifford? The thing with Paddy Clifford yesterday, because I remember talking about it, I definitely think you need to pick him up. We've seen it last year, Donegal, famously that Ireland final, but he's dropping so deep, and Dublin are going, do we push someone out there? And this is the conundrum with Kerry, and then you leave a big space in front of David Clifford then. So Dublin were prioritising their team defence over the individual matchups. I always say, I think you can man-mark two people. You can't man-mark more than that or your whole defensive system is gone. So I think they look back at that, could maybe push Lee Gannon out. No, but
yeah, we'll come back. We'll have loads of time to kind of look at matchups and defensive shapes, because Kerry's is really interesting. I think Mayo's has really grown on me in the last couple of weeks as well. How they've
definitely
done it.
Definitely improved,
Anything else from Saturday? And what we watched, like, do you want to get into that systems failure from down? Like, listening to Conor Laverty afterwards, I missed it.
What can you say?
He was just despondent, disgusted, couldn't find words for it. Just the way they didn't perform in the second half. They had chances, didn't take them.
We were watching it like they're doing brilliant on their own kickouts. Brilliant young goalkeeper in there, shot stopper, kickouts. Yeah. Burns was top class. Wicklow weren't at the races on the down kickout at all. So down had all this possession. Their running game was causing absolute havoc, which we knew it would. Even in the second half, they were creating every time they got the ball. This is no word of like a goal was on. They were creating overlaps. Then Wicklow get the black card and they don't have an extra man. And I don't know, it's complacency, without a doubt. There is complacency right in front of you. They had too much time. Every decision they were making was incorrect in attack. They had like too much choice. It was like we've two or three lads on an overlap. You know, Havering missing Freeze, Oran Murdoch had a cruising through the game, dummy solos, going by four or five lads, and then like just kicks it wide. At one stage, he tried to lob the keeper with a hand pass. It was just like Down would find every attack, they would find a new and more calamitous way to make a balls of it. And it was like we were kind of it got says we were kind of just laughing at this, going, what is going on down on that pitch? Even down the stretch, two or three minutes to go, they're Kiela still Mooney's, creating these chances.
Mooney's goal chance is blocked by Dara Fee. Like an unbelievable block, but like...
Yeah, but like hit it anywhere else. It was like, but that was down story in the second half. It was like, even though it was complete shambles, they still had so many opportunities to win the match. Like, forgive me for saying this, Down are a better team than Wicklow. That is evident. The facts of it, they're in Division 2, Wicklow didn't get out of Division 4, and that was all on show in the first half of that game. I was delighted that Wicklow came, because it was such a big day for their supporters, we've seen it, and the buzz around, that they came with far more energy and just a fight in the second half. But in saying that, they were unbelievably helped by an absolute shambolic second half performance from Down. And for Conor Laverty, I've kind of seen glimpses of this Division 3 final as well, where they were cruising against Wexford, and I don't know, did he maybe get ahead of themselves or whatever it might be? You have to ask all these type of questions now for Conor Laverty. We know how much he's put into that. They showed the heights they can get to as a team, but that second half on Saturday, I mean, I don't even know where you start with. It's like every attack, they would take the wrong decision. Every single one of them. It was like bizarre looking at it. So for Down, just go away. They're in Division 2 next year. Try and regroup and reframe. Conor Laverty has a job on his hands there in terms of the mentality around the group there of how something like that can happen. But for Wicklow are in the All-Ireland Championship next year. Like that is amazing, amazing scenes. We've seen it. Some of the veterans like Dean Healy's been around a long time, and they have moments like that. That's what the Talent Cup is about. That's what it was brought in for. And unbelievable scenes. Delighted for them. Absolutely delighted for them. And to be fair, when the chips were down, like say, they were struggling in the first half. It looked like that could really get away from them, and it might get a bit messy. And to turn around and then end up a 14-point swing and win the game by 2 points. Incredible stuff. Amazing. Delighted for them.
Yeah, it was just unbelievable. And Oisín McConville's record in finals as a player manager, we spoke about it. I was on the Wicklow side, the dressing room side, trying to record a piece with Dean Healy and Oisín afterwards. And Oisín's wife, Doreena, and his kids were around as well. And they're all wearing their Wicklow kits. Like the memories that young Wicklow fans are making as well at amazing. A day like this. Like it is absolutely glorious. And of all the Talchin Cup wins we've had Down win it, we've had Meath win it, we've had Kildare and Westmeath. Wicklow are the first Division 4 team to win. So look, it's amazing. Absolutely.
But
it's
tell absolutely me, isn't special. That what Andy Moran's point that he's making? That's what being a sports fan is all about. We've seen the scenes, and it's tough later on that day. For those Louth supporters, you know, arguably the biggest day in their history, to lose the game in that way is tough. But what about the Leinster Championship win last year? What about those wins over Cork and Armagh in a ski? So that's what being a sports fan is about. You see the highs, you see the lows, and it's brilliant. Enjoy it while you can. Enjoy it while you can. So for Wicklow, amazing. For the Mayo and Kerry fans, amazing. For the Dublin and Louth fans and Down supporters, this Monday is a bit grim, but sport, we'll be back again. That's what it's about.
There was a very poignant moment, sad moment in Croke Park on Sunday. Paddy, you would have heard, and a lot of people would have heard, the stadium announcer Gerry Grogan paying tribute, and the entire stadium paid tribute to the late Mick Leddy, who was the chief steward in Croke Park for so long. I think you would have actually known him very well from just even being around Croke Park and just
to express
our
there.
Condolences to, you know, our three buddies on Level 7, Porrick, Eamon and John, who always look after the press in Croke Park, and they do an incredible job. And they're all volunteers, by the way. But Mick Leddy, he was remembered in Croke Park, and I think Gerry Grogan got very emotional when it was a beautiful tribute, really.
It was,
That was a sad loss, wasn't it? And I think Croke Park remembered it, the great man on Sunday as well.
Yeah, it's somebody you just always see when you're in there, more so probably more on the media side the last 4 or 5 years for me down a pitch side. I couldn't believe it when I said it. Just like, geez, I only seen him a couple of weeks ago. We were in for the quarterfinal weekend with GAA+. So, and then Gerry was Jerry was creaking as he was reading it out. It was emotional. Of course it is. You know, these people are part of the everyday operations of Croke Park. We're all fortunate to be there and see these amazing occasions. And yeah, someone who's been there for so long, of course it's sad.
Yeah. No, I just wanted to mention that in the pod today in case people who maybe don't know the faces that you see in Croke Park for the last 50 years. Mick Leddy was one of them.
And, yeah.
Just thoughts with all his friends and family. Paddy, Conor McKeown's written a piece in the Indo this morning. Always enjoy Conor's writing.
Yeah.
But he just said, you know, Jack O'Connor summed it all up afterwards. Whatever you thought the Dublin-Kerry game was going to be, it didn't really transpire. It was more compelling than absolutely, you know, brilliant. There's not going to be unreal in the years, you know, in years to come. And we waited around for Jack O'Connor to share a bit of enlightenment. And he pretty much summed it up with this statement. We certainly got a bit of luck at times, no question about it. A bit of experience is what got them over the line. Like Jack afterward, like Jack is just...
Was that Connor's piece? Was there nothing else in it? No.
He could have just...
There must be a few gags in there or something.
Could have ended it there. There it was, perfect, succinct. No honey or sugar, no yeras. Ask a simple question, get a simple answer. There was a little bit more to it than that though, wasn't there? The Kerry's win over Dublin. There was a little bit more that went to it than just luck, right?
Yeah, of course there is, but it's not about luck. It's about how well they were set up defensively to curb that Dublin attack, most notably Conn, the work rate that went into it. I think Dublin, there was a bit of maybe teams cancelling each other out, that they really went after the strengths, and the best teams, you get to the All-Ireland semi-final, they're dealing with serious teams, they're there because they're able to stop the opposition doing what they want to do. It's not always just going to be, you know, this shootout and it's 2:30 to 3:31 in a match. There is a defensive element to the game, and I think both sides would be happy how they stifled their opponents yesterday. But for Kerry, that is like Jack O'Connor, you don't need to dress it up much more. There is that bit of experience that things weren't going their way. They weren't at their best. Dublin were on top at the start of that second half, but Kerry was like, oh, just hang in there. That is a skill, that resilience and that ability to go, okay, we're playing another top team. You're not going to have it all your own way for 70 minutes. Mm-hmm. And this is the challenge for both these teams in the final as well. There's going to be a period where you're under the pump, and the best teams can limit the damage when the tide is coming against them and wrestle it back. And Kerry have guys who, whether it's like Shane Murphy can land the kick out onto Joe O'Connor or Mark O'Shea and we're going to win that. Or at a period in the second half where they really get after Evan Comerford's kick out, who was doing really well at times, and Joe O'Connor stands up. And then when they win the ball, they have the know-how and the technical skill to go, we're going to work a shot here to David or Paddy or Sean O'Shea. And they did that. And that is part of the game. You know, it might not always be, you know, a high field and a 70-yard kick pass and three dummies and a score. Sometimes it's a bit more functional than that, but that is important. That, and Kerry's base level, what they've shown, even when they're not operating at their best, is still at an unbelievably high level. And that's why they're back in the All-Ireland final. It can't always be what they did against Donegal last year, where it's just football from the gods, or that third quarter against Armagh in the quarterfinal last year. They did what they needed to do yesterday, and the credit must go to Dublin, because Dublin were really putting them under pressure to stop them just having this steamroll, and everything goes into Clifford and Dylan Gainey continues and scores, you know, another 10 points. It was, defences probably were edging the day yesterday, but that's part of the game.
Couple of quick questions before we wrap up. We'll be back with our members show later this week. And if anyone missed any of our breakdown from the weekend, there's actually three podcasts up in the Off the Ball GA feed from Paddy and James on the Wicklow game, on Mayo's win and on Kerry's win against Dublin. Ger Brennan said afterwards, and it was very soon after the game, that nobody has said anything to him about retirements yet. And he hopes that nobody makes a decision on a day like today. Can I just get your take on Dublin's season as a whole? Ger described it as a roller coaster, which it certainly was.
Yeah, that's not a bad description of it. I said, if you go back to, geez, what was our first show of the year, Tommy? Back in January, was it?
Yeah.
Success for Dublin, for me, would have been staying in Division 1, winning the Leinster Championship and getting to an All-Ireland semi-final. I think that would have been absolutely optimal from the group they had and what they, new management, new coaches, lots of new faces on the pitch as well as off it. I thought that would have been a success. The league didn't go well. They very nearly got away with it, but they were relegated. The Leinster Championship looked to be going okay. They got away with the Wicklow game, put in one of their best, probably their best performance of the year against Louth down in Port Leash, where they just totally took them apart. The Leinster final just could have won it, but didn't. And all of a sudden, they get Donegal then in the qualifiers as well after losing to Louth in the All-Ireland Series. And 8 weeks ago, this season for Dublin was looking very, very different. And the Ger Brennan thing off the pitch as well, just it was going sideways on them in a major way. But what they've done, that group, over the last 5 weeks, starting with that unbelievable performance to beat Donegal, to back it up against Galway, and again to very, very nearly get over the line against Kerry. I think they've shown, there's lots, put it this way, Dublin supporters are a lot more positive about the season than it was maybe 6 weeks ago, because there was a lot of negativity around. Some of it justified because the performances were just not reaching the standards that the Dublin, whatever fans, the Dublin players would have set themselves. This is where we need to get to. And they were falling short of that. But what they've done over the last month has been brilliant. There's green shoots going in for next season for Jared, the likes of these guys, of, you know, Kennedy and Theo Clancy and Charlie McMorrow. And we can see a lot of Luke Brannock, kind of Knox and Niggles and things like that. Sean Guyden. New faces coming in, getting exposure to the absolute pinnacle of the game. For a lot of those guys, it was their first time playing Kerry in the Championship, first time playing in the full house in Croker. That they will come on and learn from that. And Jared's point of, you want to have that, but you want to have those key guys, the likes of Kieran and Howard and Scully and these guys. Scully's in probably the best season of his career, that these guys can help put their shoulder through the wheel for another year and nurture that through. So it has been a roller coaster. It's, do you know what? The fact that Dublin supporters are so disappointed today that they didn't beat Kerry. You know, that like going in, people say Kerry could win this game by 10 points and blow Dublin away, and that's very disheartening. We're miles off it. Dublin showed yesterday that we're rightly frustrated that we're not in the All-Ireland final. So that's a good starting point to go into the 2027 season. Get promoted back up to Division 1, win that Delaney Cup back for the Leinster Championship, and continue the growth of those young players. That's all on the agenda for Ger Brennan and that team for 2027. So there's optimism again, which is great.
Sorry, Paddy, I was on mute. I think we'll be looking, a little bit deeper into the season in the off season. We get a bit of time to reflect on it, but I think you've summarised it perfectly there. Andy Moran, in the middle of that answer to John Fogarty, turned to the assembled press and said, "Are any of you going to write that Mayo are going to win the All Ireland?" It was like a rhetorical question, and Colm Keyes piped up with a no. It was actually a brilliant moment within the presser. Are Mayo coming into this All Ireland final, Paddy, in a perfect position?
Again, I don't think the players will be overly concerned. They won't look at what's being said outside. They're not going to be listening to the football pod, unfortunately, from our perspective, or anything like that. They're not going to be favourites. They're not, because Kerry have, again, on paper, I'd say Kerry have better players. Kerry have been there, done that, and got the T-shirts. This Mayo team, like I said earlier in the show, there's question marks over the consistency and their ability to do this against the top teams. There's no question they can win the game. Of course there is. It's a 50-50 match. The worry, you look at Kerry's or Mayo's National League campaign, there was lots of positive things there, but they got wiped against Kerry and they got wiped against Donegal. And that was maybe a learning experience for them. They're probably in an All-Ireland final ahead of schedule. Andy had always said that this was a long-term project, but here they are on the biggest day in 2 weeks' time. I think they have a massive chance. I absolutely think Kerry will give them opportunities defensively. And it's no more so than what we're saying with Dublin going into this game against Kerry yesterday. If their forwards get really hot and they get the conversion rate up, they have a massive chance, because they have quality there in Byrne, Colby, and obviously Ryan O'Donoghue. Jordan Flynn and Jack Carney have been outstanding. They're talking about players whose games have gone up levels around the middle third as well. But if you're asking me who do I think is going to win the thing, I think Kerry are going to win. But you can make a case for Mayo if X, Y, and Z go right, if they get that intensity in defence and really make it difficult for Paddy Clifford and David Clifford and Sean O'Shea and Paul Gainey and Dylan Gainey, fucking names, if they can make it really difficult and make it really tight and reach that level of intensity, which they showed at times against Cork and, you know, for 20, 25 minutes against Loud on Saturday, they're in with a hell of a chance. But Andy, to Andy's point, yeah, everyone who watches this logically is going to go, Kerry going to win that final.
We will be talking plenty more about the 2026 All-Ireland Senior Football Championship final in the build-up to it.
We will.
Loud and Dublin seasons have ended. Wicklow are Tailteann Cup champions. London are the All-Ireland Junior Championship winners with an entirely homegrown team. Paul Coggins, a Roscommon man who brought them to a Connacht final back in 2013, was their manager. A 5-12 to 17 points win against a USGA side that are very nearly completely homegrown as well, comprising players from Philadelphia, Chicago, San Francisco.
So are London world champions now? They're basically, hey, this is like the World Series.
World Series champions. Yeah, pretty much.
World Series champs.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So congrats to them. And I met one or two of the players in the Hogan tunnel of the Hogan stand afterwards as well. I'm sure they're going to have a glorious weekend. And semi-finals are on the Friday.
Yeah.
So
oh, yeah.
Great stuff. Paddy Andrews, thank you very much. We spent a lot of time together this weekend. And James as well. And we've got a couple of big shows planned over the next few weeks. We'll catch you very soon on the Football Pod. Paddy, thank you.
Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye.
The Football Pod on Off the Ball. Brought to you by Movember, ahead of the game. Building mentally resilient GAA communities on and off the pitch.